Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to another episode of Black Men Talk Radio. The title of the show tonight is Why Black Men Must Travel. You know, this is something that I see that's not happening a lot in our community. You know, guys only think the United States is the world. And, I mean, there's a bigger world out there. That is actually why, you know, that is actually one of the reasons why this show exists. The show exists because, You know, you had to find out, basically you had to find out the hard way or through research before, just, you know, to find a, you know, another place to go to, but, or, you know, what's going on out there. And luckily we, you know, most people that deal with this show have stumbled upon, you know, an outlet, you know, another place to go to or whatever. So that's why we talk about travel a lot on this show, because this is something that is essential to a man in his development. First off, it gives you a different perspective in life and everything. But all right, before we get into what I want to talk about tonight, we're gonna have a special guest on tonight, Rico. Well, basically, I saw that he posted a lot of good information in his group. I believe it's called The Real Brazil. I'm gonna let him plug it when he comes on, but it's called The Real Brazil, and I noticed a lot of the information was good local information that he was putting on there. I was like, wow, this guy really knows his stuff. So, I mean, we've had Guru Charles Tyler on the show, but this guy is definitely to be respected as well. I mean, I talked to him today, and he seems to be on the ball. So we're going to talk about that, because initially what this show is about, because a lot of you guys out there, you actually haven't traveled. You know, you're basically daydreaming about this, you know. So you join these groups on Facebook, and you get in there, and you just listen to other guys talk about, you know, whatever, back and forth, right? But you never go out there and try to do it yourself. See, this is what tonight's show is about, really. It's about taking that first step, you know, going out there and getting your passport, and, you know, just seeing the world. I mean, yeah, you don't have a long life. I mean, the life expectancy in the United States is about, I looked these statistics up today. You guys know that I'm big on statistics and things like that. And I was looking at the life expectancy today. The United States is number 43 in the countries, you know, but with number one being Monaco and Japan. Japan, the life expectancy is 84 out there. In the United States, it's 79. So they get a couple more years than us. But even then, I mean, a lot of you guys are probably in your 30s. That means half your life is over. So this is time for you to really, you know, take in this information and you know, make a move. Because I end up not, you know, I didn't travel for, you know, I traveled in my early 20s. And, you know, I went to Brazil a couple times. But, you know, it was just because I was out there seeking. I'm going to present this to you as an option. I'm going to bring on my special guest. Let me open up my screen. All right. Yeah, I'm going to bring on my special guest tonight, Rico. And he's going to talk about, he's been to a couple countries, so we're going to basically just chop it up with him. All right. 909-482, you're on Black Men Talk Radio. Rico.
Yes, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful, wonderful, great, great tonight, you know?
Good. Hello, everyone.
Yes, because, see, basically, what the theme of tonight, you know, because we talk about travel often on the show, and I know I saw you ran a group. It's called, I thought it was called The Real Brazil. Is it The Real Brazil, correct?
Yeah, it's called The Real Brazil, and the purpose of the group basically is to give people a realistic view of what's happening in Brazil. They're in a major recession. They have a political crisis going on. So I try to keep the topics and the stuff that I post in there relevant to what Brazilians are talking about on a day-to-day basis, what's important to them. Versus, you know, some sites promote the beautiful women and, you know, and that's just a one-dimensional view of, you know, what Brazil is really about. What's important to Brazilians is the economy, jobs, what's happening with the political process, how the world views them, and those type of issues. So my post in The Real Brazil is mainly about the, you know, what's important to Brazilians and what they're talking about on a day-to-day basis.
Okay, yeah, that's cool. All right, so, yeah, you talk about, you said a lot of the other groups, they talk about, you know, only the whole women's situation over there. How many times have you been out to Brazil?
I took my first trip to Brazil in September of last year. I've been communicating with a young lady down there, and that just happens to be where she lives in Sao Paulo. So I went to the Latin America's New York City, and that's where I spent a few days, you know, just connecting with her. So that was my first trip to Brazil.
Oh, okay, okay. All right, because see, like I said, the theme of tonight's show is about, you know, guys taking that first step. Okay, all right, I just kind of want to know the mindset. All right, when you first decided to take your trip to Brazil, or was Brazil the first place you traveled? Could you travel to how many countries?
Oh, no. I started thinking about it. It started, you mentioned earlier that, you know, it starts off daydreaming. That's actually how it starts. You know, before you actually take the plunge and start traveling, it starts off as a daydream. And I remember as a child going to libraries and gravitating to books about other countries. So I've always been global-minded and knew that eventually I was going to travel and see the world. And I got my first passport when I was 26, and the very first trip I took outside of the country was to Mexico. I went to Puerto Vallarta and stayed at a hotel on the beach there, and it was my very first experience outside the United States. So Mexico was my very first trip.
So hold on, because I'm kind of like this too. Now, excuse me. Now, a lot of guys out here, you know, they grew up in cliques of friends and stuff like that. So you end up going to these places. You went to Mexico by yourself, right?
Yeah, and that's usually how I travel. I usually travel alone because I don't have any trouble meeting people, and I'm very personable. So, yeah, I go by myself because I don't want to have to depend on, you know, other people to get me to where I want to go.
See, yeah, and that's one thing that I say, because I travel alone. Everywhere I've traveled, except for one time when I went up to Montreal, I traveled by myself. Now, speak on this, because I say you meet the most interesting people when you travel, like, especially when you're alone. You always find a friend. I always say, like, when you speak the same language, like me and you, like, if we're next to each other in a you know, on a bus or something like that, and we're native English speakers, we're going to talk, you know, so... Just speak on that.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, I'm African-American, and when you travel outside the United States, you come to find that the world isn't the way you may believe it to be based on your experiences in the United States. The majority of the world is very accepting and open to African-Americans. So when you go to other countries, and I tend to mingle mostly with the natives, you know, I think it's counterproductive to travel outside the country and then surround yourself with people who only speak English if you're American. You know, so I like to go and mingle and stay in the community and be connected to the natives, because that gives you a realistic view of what the country is about. So when I travel, you know, language is probably one of the major hurdles that I have. Outside of the country. So, yeah, meeting people is pretty easy because people are a lot more receptive and open and loving of African Americans outside of the United States, and you would think otherwise if you watch the news, but I've found that to be the opposite.
Let me ask you this, because, you know, this is kind of one of those hot-button topics like racism in Brazil. Did you see any reason why they think, you know, I don't know if this is a media thing or if this is a real thing, but they say there's a lot of racism out there.
It depends on, you know, where you actually, you know, tend to hang out. But, yeah, I believe so. You know, for example, you know, I've dated women from all cultures. You know, I don't really care about, you know, a person's skin tone. I choose them based on their personality. All I care about is, are they beautiful and do they have a great personality? So the girl that I happened to see and was visiting out there, she's Euro-Brazilian. So I noticed when I would be having conversations with her, and we would be standing in the bus terminal, for example, there would be people that would talk to her and not even acknowledge my presence. And these are other Euro-Brazilians. So I found that to be kind of odd. You know, they wouldn't even acknowledge or even say hello to me, but they would come converse with her and just totally ignore me. But I didn't speak Portuguese very well anyway, so that could be another reason. But, you know, at least, you know, giving me some type of respect based on the fact that I was with her, I found that to be odd. So, yeah, there is racism, you know, in Brazil. That's true. That's a very, very real thing. But it's a structural thing, and it's socioeconomic. And I think you're going to find that no matter where you go. But I think those people are the exception and not the rule. Most people in Brazil, from what I've found, are very personable, and they really don't care about your color.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. I do find that. I mean, I kind of find that, too. I find that it's like a class thing instead of a white and black thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Can be black.
And it just so happens Brazil, the majority of the people that, you know, are doing well happen to be Europeans versus African.
Yeah, when I was out there, I was with a white Brazilian as well, and I mean a lot of people don't understand that, you know, they're a country of immigrants as well, you know, I mean,
yeah.
So they got people that, you know, say, oh well, I'm of Italian heritage, but they're Brazilian, you know what I mean? So
yeah, exactly.
I definitely understand what you mean on that. But all right, let's talk about, because we talk a lot about relationships. I mean, I don't want to go too deep into your situation, but like explain like what the difference is. Is there a difference you've seen between like Brazilian women versus like American women?
Well, yeah, I don't really think it's because they're Brazilian per se, because I've dated, you know, I grew up here in Southern California, so I've dated women from all over the world. Because they come here and, you know, for Hollywood and all that stuff. So growing up as a teenager into my adulthood until I got married and whatnot, I've dated women from all parts of the world. And what I've come to find is that all women tend to be the same. And nothing really makes them different based on their nationality. Now, Brazilian women and just the Latin culture in and of itself is different versus, say, the Afro-American community here in the United States. Latinos tend to acquiesce to male dominance more based on their culture. I don't think it's because they're Brazilian. I just think just the Latino culture in and of itself, they're used to giving men control in the relationships because 9 times out of 10, they grew up with a man that was in the house. Mm-hmm. So having a dominant male figure in their life is not something unusual to them. So they're more easier to be accepting of a man taking control, regardless of his income or anything of that nature. So there is
this.
A difference, in how they treat you.
Let me ask you this. Okay. All right. Because we do speak a lot about manhood and all that other stuff on you know, about really being a man, you know. Now, do you, is that the way you see relationships? Because that's what we promote on here, that, you know, the man is supposed to be the head of the household and things like that. I mean, tell me, how do you see relationships supposed to be? What is your philosophy?
Well, I don't know. People tend to believe that relationships are 50-50. But what I've come to find out is that there can only be one captain of a ship. And if you have a co-captain and one person wants to go the other way and the other person wants to go left, the other person wants to go right, which way do you go? And 9 times out of 10, you go the direction of the person who has the most dominant personality. In some relationships, that may be the woman. In other relationships, it may be the man. But I personally believe there's only one captain of a ship. Mm-hmm. You can have a co-captain who you listen to, who, you know, gives you advice and whatnot, but one person has to be the ultimate decider as to which way the ship is going to go.
Mm-hmm. And just to clarify, you're saying that's the man, right? Or are you saying that the woman?
I mean, I believe it could be the man, but, you know, some guys are comfortable just giving that to the woman. It really depends on the person. But in my relationships, I've dated mostly the women are easier accepting to the man making decisions. They don't like making the decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's some psychology behind that too. But we got a caller on the line. I'm gonna take this caller and I'm gonna come right back to you. Okay. All right. Just hang on the line. Okay. All right. I'm bringing you on the line, 787-948-787-948. You're on Black Men Talk Radio. Okay, all right, I think I just kicked him out. Okay, yeah, something just happened with this guy. Okay, all right, let me go back into what I was going to talk about tonight. All right, and we'll go back, get back into our special guest. Okay, I think our caller just came back. I'm going to take him on. 787-949, you're on Black Men Talk Radio. 787-949, you're on radio. State your name and where you're calling from. 787-948. Hello.
I'm just listening.
Oh, you just listening? But what do you think? Have you been listening long or what? Have you heard all the content of the? Have you heard all the content of the show? Or are you just tuning in?
No, I'm just listening. I just called in right now.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna put you back in. Well, thank you for calling Black Men Talk Radio. All right. So I'm gonna get back into what I was talking about tonight. I thought that was the guy that raised his hand or whatever. All right. So, yeah, the number to call in, guys, is 516-418-5541, 516-418-5541. This is Black Men Talk Radio. Okay, what I was going to talk about tonight, okay, was why black men should travel, right? And it came from an article that I was looking at on, it was Mind and Body, right? It's a website, you know, that I just searched for or whatever, right? And they had an article, Top 10 Reasons to Travel, right? And I think every one of these applied to, you know, African-Americans as well, you know. And the thing is, I don't see enough of our community doing that, you know. I mean, I might see, you know, mostly the people that are traveling are, you know, are Caucasian at this point, you know, from the United States. Listen, guys, you have one of the most powerful, if you're coming from the U.K., I mean, we got some listeners over there. If you're coming from the United States, you have one of the most powerful passports on the earth. There is no reason why you should not be seeing different lands. I'm telling you guys, this is essential to your development. Now, I mean, because all right, we talk a lot about relationships on the show here, right? Now, if you can only bring in one perspective of dealing with women in the United States, it could be, you know, you may just see things one way. You don't know that there's anything, you don't know that there's anything else out there until you end up going, you know, to another place and seeing what it's like. You can't even begin, because like I said, a lot of you guys on Facebook just talk, you know, I mean, just come in these groups and have never traveled and just listen. You got to live this. We have a caller, 610-850. 610-850, you're on Black Men Talk Radio. 601-850, you're on Black Men Talk Radio.
601-850.
Oh, okay,
greetings,
okay, what's going on?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Had a whole lot. I appreciate you taking my call there at all. I just listened there at all, and I was, no, I mean, definitely a fantastic topic that needs to be discussed until this problem is solved for black men here in the United States of America. But anyway, my point is your guest, you know, made the statement about all women being the same. When I heard him say that, the first thing crossed my mind, well, if all women are the same, there's no sense in black men leaving the United States of America and going anywhere else at all if all women are the same. Now, you and I both know you can say something like that, but if you get down to the details, all these women are not the same as the black women in the United States. If they were at all, we might as well just stay here. You know, like, I mean, the only country I've really traveled to is Canada and the United States, I mean, and Mexico. But I know for myself, from my, you know, decades of travel now, there's a big-ass difference. There's a lot of similarities, but still, overall, there's a big difference between women in the United States and women in Canada and Mexico, even though that's a similarity.
But he did say that. He did say he spoke on it. He said that the women down there respect having a man as the head of the household. So he spoke about the differences. He didn't just come out exactly saying it, but he did say that. He said that, you know,
I thought I heard all of it.
Yeah,
I didn't hear that part.
Yeah, you probably missed that part. But yeah, he spoke on it that yeah, they appreciate having a man make the decisions. And that's
right,
what
right. I just want to make sure that part got pointed out right there at all. You know, if that there's a lot of guys that come away from it, because I came away from it. Now, I don't think I missed anything the guy said at all. I've been listening since the very beginning when he came in there. But anyway, that's just the part that it's almost like if you're thinking that, don't even say it. Because that's why a lot of guys say, well, man, they're the same everywhere I go. And it's just me leaving Brooklyn or leaving wherever I live at, something like that. And we know it's too big of a difference. So I want to say that in case somebody else out there may have got the wrong impression because, you know, it just make a lot of guys. Well, a lot of guys don't go, oh, man, women's same everywhere, man. That's a lie. And that's the same. Maybe to a certain degree, they all got a vagina. They all got a mouth, true enough. But when it comes to treatment and all like that overall, it just no comparison to here. No comparison, man.
And he also, saying that they like the man being the head of the household, I mean, that says most of it. And he also spoke about how, you know, how they're beautiful, you know, because, I mean, even these fat hoes in the United States, these fat women, the man, the cream of the crop type of guy, you know. So we know that, you know, a lot of these, I mean, it's probably because a lot of them walk around. I mean, they care about their appearance, too. Like, they got a little saying out here, like, you know, you don't have to, you know, just because you're poor, you don't have to look poor, you know. So it was like, a lot of American women, they let themselves go after, you know, they have kids and all that other stuff. These women try to keep it together. So if you want to speak on those differences, yeah, there is a difference with that. But when, you know, I think that's the key to it, though. When dealing with Latin American women, they still want the man to be the leader. See, now a lot of problems with the, you know, the black woman or the Americanized woman out here is that she wants to be the equal, or she wants to be the head of the household. And that's the problem. I think that's where I think this is the biggest problem between men and women, them not understanding who the captain of the ship is. And I can't blame all of them. Some of you guys are just really weak out here, and that's what the show is about. You know, if you're out here saying if you're listening now and you're saying to yourself, well, yeah, women are supposed to be equal. Okay, all right, in a workplace, fine. You know, if they want to be whatever they want to be, you should achieve the highest thing you can get, right? When it comes down to coming home, the man is the captain of the ship. You know, this is the way. There is no other way you should see this. If you see this another way, I mean, then you're not. You just stop listening. We're never going to promote for that side. You know, we out here promote strong, you know, stronger black men. We don't like the effeminate culture getting into black men. We want this to be, you know. We want you guys to have a higher mindset, you know. That's why I brought the topic up. But this is a part of having that higher mindset, you know. Going other places. Okay. And another thing, you know, when I was a truck driver, right? And what I used to do is I used to listen to a lot of podcasts. And there was one, I believe it was called Nomad Capitalist, right? And you know, he would always say, "Go where you're treated best." Right, and he was promoting going over to Thailand and starting a business and all this other stuff. And I liked his message, and I want to try to do it in Latin America. Now, you know, he says go where you're treated best. Now, okay, you can be a truck driver, you can be a taxi driver, you can drive for Lyft. If you can just get a little bit of money together, you can travel and you can see how it is in different places. You can date a different girl from somewhere else. You can understand, you know, the United States is not the world. You know, just because of what you're dealing with in your community and what you're dealing with in just in your local circle is what it is. But there is something greater out there, and this is why we brought the show up tonight. All right, I looked up I had an article on here. Where was this? The least expensive countries, right? Now, I want you guys to understand this, that just because these countries are least expensive, it's Not because they're worse. I mean, they may have everything that we have, you know. See, that's one thing about traveling that you got to understand. You know, when you're coming from the Western world, I mean, the powers that be have negotiated great deals for us, you know. So a lot of times your dollar or your euro or your pound is going to go a lot further. You know, so basically what happens is you become part of the highest class when you get there. I mean, you're basically rich. Now, you guys know that I'm out here in Dominican Republic, right? Now, the average person out here, and they live off this, right? They'll get an apartment, they'll get their, you know, they'll have the bare necessities. You got to gain a little bit more to get a little bit more. But like the average person out here will get like 10,000 pesos a month, and I'm being generous, right? Now, 10,000 pesos is only like, it's like $225, you know. Now, the average person in the United States is going to gain like, I mean, unless you're working at like McDonald's, and no respect, no disrespect to the guys that do, but you're going to gain somewhere up where $3,000 and probably more than that. You know, let's say give or take $2,000, $3,000 a month, right? Now, for a person that you're gaining 10 times, if you're making $2,000 a month, you're gaining 10 times what a person gains in the Dominican Republic. So when you come out here and you spend your money and when you have your money, you're living like, okay, the Russian word for God, okay, I found this out because I like studying language. The Russian word for God is Bol, right? And the Russian word for rich is Bogaty. Bogaty means like God. So the word for rich in Russian is to be like God. that kind of blew my mind when I was looking at those two words or whatever. But that's how it is when you can go to another place like Dominican Republic or Brazil. Brazil's economy is having a rough time right now, and our special guest is definitely going to talk a little about that because he's very, very informed on things that are going, you know, the boots on the ground kind of stuff that's going on in Brazil. But they're going through a rough time at this point. And the fact that they're going through a rough time, like, the dollar is very, very strong against the real right now. I mean, it's stronger than I ever seen it. The dollar was declining against it. And when I went there one time, it was like 1.5. So I would get, if I gave them $1, they would give me $1.50 back. You know, but it's like 4 now. And people are surviving off of a salary that's less than yours out there. It's 4 to 1, and it was 1.5, and I was living really, 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 really good. And that's what this is all about, you know. You know, to gain a higher mindset, you know, from a man's perspective, you have to live through this stuff. And I'm saying this stuff to you guys to motivate you. Because, like I said, a lot of you guys, I mean, I've gotten messages from you guys too, right? A lot of you guys out here, you're in the Facebook groups and things like that, just taking in all this information and not going back to, you know, and not actually trying to execute on this. I want you guys to start executing. I want to see some of you guys running around here in Dominican Republic. We got Brother Aaron. Aaron, he's throwing a party on the beach out in Tijuana, Mexico. I want to see y'all go there. I mean, if you want to travel, you're not alone. You're in a place where you get the information, but you got to make action on this information. You got to actually travel. Now, I'm going to talk about, because like I said, I had some articles on here, right? And let me just pull this one up. All right. Now, let's say you want to, because that's basically what I'm on out here in Dominican Republic, right? Let's say I know at some point I'm going to have to go back to the United States, but the immigration laws are really like friendly towards foreigners at this point. So I'll speak some more on that a little bit later. But you can stay here for a long time and just pay a little bit. But all right, let's talk about some places, you know, top 10 expensive places where you can take a vacation, you know, in South America. So Panama is like, this is, I'm getting this from a Complex article. Now, I know. I mean, there's a good population of English speaking Panamanians down there. You know, they migrated from the Caribbean, but Panama, they're saying that you can live I'm telling you guys this because if most of you are from like New York, New Jersey area, or California, or you live in pretty much a big city or whatever, right? Now the rent, you know, they're saying the average, okay, an apartment in New Jersey is going to cost you, somewhere upward of $1,000. They're saying that, you know, to have a wonderful apartment out there in Panama, you pay $450. And I mean, that includes pretty much everything with it, you know? Now, and Panama, it's not what you think. I've talked to a lot of guys that went down there. They say it looks like Miami out there because a lot of investment, you know, Panama is kind of like an extension of America. If you guys don't understand it, I want you guys to understand this. Panama was created with America's interests. Panama was a place where, you know, they succeeded. It basically, you know, they became independent. They were part of Colombia, but they became independent because they, you know, they made a deal with the United States to build the Panama Canal. So they said, okay, we're going to secede and, you know, you deal with us now. So Panama is basically, you know, $1, you can spend dollars out there, you know, and you'll live wonderful for way less out there, you know. Now, I'm going to bring our caller, our special guest back in, and we're going to talk about some of the prices and stuff like that in Brazil. Because, like I said, this show is about getting you guys to, to make that first step, to jump off that, you know, jump out the window with this one, to quote Nori in the song. So I'm going to bring you back in. Okay, Rico, you still on?
Yes, I am. And okay. I want to quickly clarify what I was saying to your other caller and the guests that are actually listening to the show about all women being the same. Can I do that?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Address it, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to – what I meant by that is that objectively – women around the world are the same. And what I mean by that is that they're looking for a man with resources that can enhance their ability to survive and enhance the ability of her offspring to survive. Nowhere you go in the world are you going to find women that just, unless they're Oprah Winfrey, aren't going to care about your resources and your ability to help her survive, either emotionally or financially. That's what I meant by they're all the same. However, subjectively, there are differences in how they treat the men that provide those resources. That's where it differs. Some women don't respect you no matter how much resources you give them, but then there's women in other countries that are more giving and more loving and more caring towards those guys that provide those resources. So that's what I meant when I said all women. I mean, objectively, they're pretty much the same as far as survival is concerned. They need men in their lives to help enhance their lives and the lives of their children. And that's across the board, no matter what woman you date. But the difference lies in how they treat the men that provide those resources differ depending on the culture that you're interacting with.
All right. Yeah. It's very important that you said that. Because, like I said, we talk a lot about a relationship, and a lot of these groups out here make it sound one of the first shows that I did was about if you're going to be a simp, you know, a simp like being a weaker man, basically what we call a simp on this show, or whatever, you know, letting a woman control him and things like that, basically, right? All right, but if you're going to be a simp, that was one of my first shows. If you're going to be a simp in the United States, you're going to be a simp everywhere, you know. Now, you said something about I kind of lost my train of thought, but you said something about the woman. Damn it, man! All right, I just had I should have wrote that down when you were saying it, but you said something about the woman.
Objectively.
Yeah. Objectively, like they are. Okay. Yes. Thank you for helping me with that. The woman. They do care about your resources. You know. And a lot of guys are out here, like, they say that women in the United States are money grubbing, right? But All women care about money. I mean, that's like a fact of life. And you said it exactly like I love your scientific delivery, like the way you put it. Like they're looking for the furthering of their offspring, you know, the well-being of their offspring, and that's important. I mean, so yes, all women all over the world. So if you're going to say that that women in the Dominican Republic or women in other parts of the, you know, other parts of the world, Mexico, Brazil, wherever you go, you know, that money is going to be a factor. You know, and that's very, very, I really, really, like, I want guys to understand that. You're not, when you're traveling, you want to enjoy the culture. Just enjoy seeing some new scenery. Enjoy seeing something different, you know. But if you, I mean, if a lot of times you'll end up being richer than most of the people around you if you're traveling the places I go, because I won't, like, that's why I haven't been over to Europe, because the dollar is not, you know, it's not, the exchange rate is not friendly towards the dollar.
But
when
right,
you're talking
exactly.
about, yeah, when you're talking about Brazil and you're talking about Dominican Republic, the exchange rate has never been higher. Now, that is another reason that you guys have to keep it moving or have to travel, and it's the prime time. We're in a great time economically in the United States, and the dollar is powerful. All across the board, you're having, like, I haven't, like, since I've been going to Brazil, it has never been, like, 4-1 like it is now. Might be higher. That was the last time I checked. And that, go where you're treated best, guys. Go where you're treated best. But let me talk about that, too, because that was one of the things I led into to talk about. You said that I said something about, you know, the 4-1 deal. Explain to me, like, how much cheaper do you think it is to be in Brazil than the United States?
Well, when I was there, it was like 4 reais to every dollar, which was pretty significant. But what I didn't take into account is I didn't know how much things actually cost there or what the prices were. I'm trying to learn the language, which is something I would recommend for anybody who's traveling to Brazil, is you have to learn how to speak Portuguese, even if it's just on an elementary level, because I can't understand how anybody could go to Brazil for several times and not speak the language, because you can't survive there. And I didn't know what the prices were. The ATMs are not in English unless you go to an American bank, but still the menu is in Portuguese, and you got to understand a little Portuguese to find the English button to translate it into English. So
Let me ask you this. Well, what? Because we don't get any money from it, but me and Marvin, we use Memorize to learn different languages.
Memorize myself. I use it every single day. Plus, I have a Portuguese language teacher who works with me once or twice a week as well.
And I highly recommend
Memorize. It's the easiest, and it speaks to you so you can actually hear the sounds, and that's the perfect way of teaching yourself, and it's free.
Yeah, I mean, there is a paid-for program. I actually end up paying for it. Because you can download as much as you want. I forget there were some perks to it, but it's like $40 a year or something like that. But it was really like I liked it so much that I end up paying for the thing. Now, you said, because I've done this, but I've done this for like Russian and stuff like that. Let me ask you this, right? How much you said you deal with a Portuguese teacher? This is online?
Yes, Skype. Actually.
All right, and yeah, by Skype, because I've done this for, like I said, I've done this for Russian. Now, how much does that end up costing you? I know the price, but
for the using the Portuguese tutor?
No, yeah, for having the Portuguese tutor, like she
cost me absolutely nothing.
Cost you absolutely nothing.
There's a website called ConversationExchange.com. And you can go on this website, and there's people in Brazil who want to learn how to speak English, and you want to learn how to speak Portuguese. So you set up times during the week or whatever is convenient for both of you, and you help each other learn each other's language.
Yeah, that's funny that you say that, because that's actually how I got to Brazil my first time.
But exactly.
But
I just lucked out. This gentleman happens to be a college student. He speaks perfect English. Mm-hmm. And he helps me tremendously as far as learning Portuguese. And because, I mean, you can't really, books and whatnot is not good because you don't really know if you're pronouncing the words properly. And what really tricks me with Portuguese is the masculine feminine way of saying things, which is really, really, really important. And having a male teach you the masculine way of speaking in Portuguese is invaluable. So that's one of the main reasons I appreciate the help that I'm getting. But conversation exchange is a way to find a tutor and not have it cost you anything.
Yeah, I've done things like that, and I've also paid for tutors, and it only costs you like maybe $20 or $15 a session. I mean, it's really, really inexpensive to do it that way. Or you can go that route. I've done that as well.
Right.
And that, like I said, that's how I end up in Brazil.
As far as the cost is concerned, most of the things are pretty reasonable. They will try to take advantage of you if they find out you're American when you're shopping. So fortunately, I was with someone who spoke Portuguese, and, you know, she did most of the negotiating when it came to buying things and purchasing things from the grocery store and the malls and asking questions. But, yeah, they will hike up the prices on you if they find out you're American. Because, for one example, I'm a neat freak, so the apartment that I was staying in, I wanted to wash the sheets after a couple of days. So I took a bunch of clothes and whatnot around to the laundromat, and I'm thinking that, you know, it's going to be what it would cost or even cheaper than what it would cost to wash a load of clothes in America. And I give them three baskets full of clothes, you know, sheets and clothes that I have gotten dirty since I had been there, and the guy charged me 97 reais to wash three loads of clothes.
That's like $25.
Yeah. In a laundromat where you just put in soap and it goes into the washing machine, and I was pissed.
Oh, he wouldn't have charged me that. He wouldn't have charged me that.
I didn't find that out until afterwards. I'm just thinking, okay, yeah, so they will take advantage of you. So you just have to watch out for that if you're down there.
You know what, and that's all over the world. There's gonna be people that are gonna try to take advantage of you. That's important. That's why it's important to, like, when you go out, mingle with people, talk to people, because that's how I find out the price of things. Like, if I want to know something, like out here, they're big on that. Like, I call that the gringo pricing, right? Out here, they're like that too. So if I go somewhere and I want to know how much something is, I'll ask another person there. You know what I mean? I'll be like, yo, how much is that? You know, if he's eating what I want to eat, I'll ask him how much that is so I can find out the real price. And that's my little travel hack right there for dealing with that situation. You know, but, I mean, it works if you speak the language, you know. So it's I definitely understand that. And like he said, memorize is one of the best ways. So, like I said, tonight what we're trying to do is get you guys to, you know, jump out the window with this one. Just basically, you know, for you guys that are in the Facebook groups, I haven't announced the number in a while, so it's 516-418-5541, 516-418-5541. This is Black Men Talk Radio. Now, yeah, call in, guys. We want to speak to you. We got a special guest star, Rico. He's talking about some. We're going to talk about some of the other places he went, but we're all interested in Brazil, because Brazil, you know, this is where a lot of black men are traveling. I mean, this is why I chose Dominican Republic over Brazil for this particular round. I would love to go to, you know, I intend to go to Brazil again, right? But the reason why I chose Dominican Republic is, right, now, over in Brazil, I'm not sure if it's 3 months or 6 months, right? But after that, you got to leave the country, you know? Over here in Dominican Republic, if you want to stay over here 6 months or whatever amount of time that you want to stay over here, you can just stay. All you got to do, you have to pay a fine when you leave. I mean, it's really, really a skinny price. I don't have the list in front of me. So I knew that I wanted to stay out and see how it was outside of the States, and I didn't know how long I was going to stay. So that made a lot of sense to me. Second off, I live over in New Jersey, as you guys know, because I talk about New Jersey a little bit on here. And, you know, that from New Jersey to Brazil, the flight is 12 hours. I mean, I went in through Sao Paulo and then went over to Rio and went to another city from there. But it's 12 hours. To Dominican Republic, it's 3 hours. You're on a plane in New York, bam. You're over here right after a little quick nap. So, I mean, I knew I could move back and forth between the United States really, 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 really easy. But that's not to discount Brazil, because there are some things in Brazil, that are better than Dominican Republic. Like, I did another show. We did some statistics on, the divorce rate around the world. I mean, it was just one of the things I threw out there for the topic that I was talking about. And the divorce rate in Brazil was actually lower than the United States in a significant amount. They had something like 20% of all marriages ended in divorce, whereas it was over 50 in the United States. And in Dominican Republic, it was over 50. So, I mean, you take the good with the bad. I mean, I like to speak real to you guys. So, and I don't want you guys to be misled when you came out here. When you come over here, when you're going to come over here, you're going to be a rich guy, Because everybody else, everybody else doesn't make that much money. And you're probably the richest person to people to anybody that you're going to meet over here. So when you talk to the girl, online and stuff like that, or whatever you do, you go to Sosua and you get the girl. She's dealing with you because you're a richer guy. I mean, and like she said, that is a factor. Now, what these women are not, excuse me, gotta get me some water or beer. All right, like I was saying earlier, the girl. All right, we just had a little connection issue for a second. All right, like I was saying earlier. Girls over in, down in Latin America, it's a part of their culture to have the man as the head of the household. Whereas in the United States, you see a lot of black women talking about how they don't need no man, they can take care of themselves. And I see a lot of, lesbianism, going on nowadays. I see a lot of black women are converting to that. I mean, if that's what you want to do, that's fine with me. I don't care about that. But, I mean, I'm seeing a trend. And it's coming from them wanting to be masculine, and you don't have to deal with that as much. I mean, of course, the woman's going to be a woman. She's going to be full of emotion. She's going to be actually driven by emotion. Whereas most men, well, not all of you men, because a lot of you are out here and you guys are emotionally driven too. Men are supposed to be more cerebral. We're supposed to be the thinking individual of the relationship. We're supposed to be basically the rock, last word, the last say. And this is just, the woman knows she needs to be led down there. And that's why, that is why it's better out here. Because I got to look this up because I listen and read so many things that, it just it kind of comes garbled in my brain, but all right, connection issue. Hold on, guys. But okay, as I said, they're not worried about letting you lead them. So. That's another thing. So let me get back into some of the articles that I was talking about. But let me ask you this, right? You've been a bunch of countries. I'm speaking to you, Rico, again, because I thought about this while I was about to go back to what I was going back to.
Yeah.
But you've been which women do you think are the most feminine around the world?
Basically, all of them are feminine, but I think my ex-wife is Japanese, And I think Asian women tend to be a little more feminine, more so than other women that I've dated. And it's not to say that they're the stereotypical, docile, always supportive, because I've dated several Asian women, so I know Asian women, and some of them are very selfish and self-centered, so you can't really generalize and say that all Asian women are great. You know, I'm just like I was saying before, you can't really generalize about certain women based on their nationality or their ethnic background. But based on my experience, I would say Asian women tend to be more willing to let men lead and be in control. But then I think that's true for any women that you meet outside the United States. So I'm really hesitant to say that one nationality is more feminine than others, because you're going to meet rough women even in the Asian community.
Well, you're going to meet
rough women in Latin America or Brazil. You know, I just hate sometimes when I hear guys say, oh, I only date Caucasian women because they're better. And I say, if you show me a guy who thinks Caucasian women are better because they're Caucasian, and I'll show you a guy who hasn't really dated many Caucasian women. And if you show me a guy who says, I like Brazilian women because Brazilian women are better, and I'll show you a guy who probably hasn't dated very many Brazilian women.
You know what? That is real and 100% true. that is so true. And I mean, you packaged that so well, the way you put that together. Because I say that too. You know, now that I know these women out here and I see how they, I mean, you might be right. There's a little bit the same. The only thing I do enjoy is that, you know, they understand that they need a man. You know, there's not that culture of, a man is an option. It's, you know, I know down there, I don't know if the girl was lying to me or not, but from what I understood, you know, a lot of the heavily Catholic homes, because that, you know, they are a Catholic country. It is a shameful thing for the girl to leave the house without a husband.
Yeah, that's true. And Brazil is a highly Catholic country as well. But what I found odd based on that is that prostitution is legal in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
So I found that to be kind of a dichotomy with the whole community, that they're so strictly, you know, Catholic and religious, but yet, you know, they felt the need to legalize prostitution. So you have that contradiction in Brazil.
Well, I really don't think they're thing to in Latin America. I think it's just really you got to look at it in a cultural standpoint, right? When they're legalizing prostitution, or they're letting it be, it's just because it's like, look, we know you're going to be out here doing this, you know. Whereas in the United States, they're forcing the rule on you. Like, we know you're going to be out here doing this, so let's try to regulate it Yeah, let's just try to regulate it, or you know, just try to get past it. You know, it's not a thing of, it's not so much a thing of, you know, they're trying to put a moral standpoint. It's like, hey, live your life, you know.
Yeah, it's an economic thing, and I totally understand that, because I was reading an article recently that talked about the standard of living in different countries around the world. And the reason that women outside the country, especially South America, Central America, and other countries, tend to think that all Americans are rich is because the lower 10%, and I may post this on my group, this article, the lowest 10% of the American population, like the poor in America, lives a better standard of living than 68% of the world's population.
Mm-hmm. And that's
which I found to be pretty astounding. So people outside the United States are always going to have a tendency to think that Americans are rich, even if you come from the poorest of backgrounds in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they look at it. They actually, and when they, you know, we talked about how they try to cheat you. when they look at it, at, you know, this is how they justify it to themselves, is that, you know, basically you are rich. To them, you're rich. Like I said, I said that earlier. Out here, and I don't remember what a Brazilian gets. But, I mean, maybe you can speak on that. But a Dominican person, I'm being generous, may gain 10,000 pesos a month. May gain 10,000 pesos a month. That's like $225. Now,
yeah, and
like
it's the same thing in Brazil. It's the same thing because my tutor was telling me that the minimum wage average for someone working 40 hours a week in Brazil, and they all get paid once a month, which is unusual here in the United States. Most countries get paid once a month. And he says the for minimum wage, you're talking about 780, if I'm being a little generous, 780 reais a month is the salary for minimum wage in Brazil, which is about $200 a month, U.S. dollars.
Now, I know you live in California. Have you done any research on relocating to Brazil or?
Yeah. That's one of the main reasons I'm, you know, trying to develop a relationship down there, because I work from home and, you know, I sell products over the internet and I sell, you know, services to business owners by phone.
Yeah,
so
we're
I'm considering living there based on the fact that the dollar is strong now still. And Sao Paulo is probably the place. Well, that's where my friend lives when I went down there. But yeah, I to answer your question, yes, I am considering living there. That's why I'm going down to check it out.
Okay, and I gave my reasons why I chose Dominican Republic to stay for my extended vacation or live or whatever, because I work out here and stuff now. But what are your reasons for choosing Brazil? I mean, yeah, just name the
because the dollar is strong. That's my main. Reason is because I know I can, you know, live a comfortable life if I'm getting paid in dollars and euros, you know, versus getting paid. If I can pay my bills in reais and get my income in dollars or euros, then I can live a very comfortable lifestyle. You know, the upper 10% of Brazilians, you're considered wealthy if you make $3,000 to $4,000 a month, U.S. dollars, and pay your bills in reais in Brazil. Mm-hmm. So you can live a very comfortable lifestyle. That's considered the upper class Brazilian, is someone who can bring in equivalent to $3,000 to $4,000 a month in income, U.S. dollars.
Yeah, I run a place. I mean, because I'm doing basically like. I'm out here in Dominican Republic. Now, I run a place where, you know, it's in actually like a high-rise type building. I live in the city of Santiago. And in this community, there's some, definitely got to be million-dollar houses, because they got, you know, like the circle drive, the half-circle driveway, with all that type of stuff, right? So you know that those houses are worth a lot of money. Now, you can tell that this is a area where, you know, well-to-do people just buy the cars. They have newer cars and things like that over here. The rent over here for me is 9,500 pesos. Now, if I was able to have this apartment in over New Jersey or New York City or, you know, near the Pennsylvania border, the least this would cost me is about $1,300. The least it would cost me is about $1,300. It's a two-bedroom. It's got a nice big balcony. You know, it's on the first floor, and I mean, it's been newly painted and all that stuff. You know, this is a well-to-do area, and the cost for the place is only like it's 10,000 pesos, like $225. So 9,500, that's $12 off. It's like $210, something like that. You know, and you come down here and you have a job like Rico has, or you set up, because one of the shows I wanted to say this to you, because we're going to do a show in the future about this, you know, because you know how a lot of black guys we see out here when they do entrepreneurship, you know, especially when they come from a lower class area, or like, you know, a, a low-income area. That's what I meant. I didn't mean low-class. But a low-income area, they'll choose jobs like they'll, you know, when they do entrepreneurship, you'll see like the squeegee man, or you'll see somebody selling newspaper, or they're selling some sort of subscription or something like that. There's jobs that you can do on the internet and do very, very well in different places. And, like, I was going to have a couple guests come on and talk about that. And I thought that you may actually be one of the good guests just because what you were talking about, you know, just a minute ago. But let me ask you this, right? What is it what is it to stay down there? Because that was my problem with Brazil, because you can only stay down there for, like, 6 months out of the year without –
visa, and according to the Brazilian consulate, I could stay, if you have a visa, which is a 10-year visa, you can stay 3 months at a time. And if you file an extension, they'll give you an additional 3 months extension. So the most you could stay there with a visa is 6 months all at once.
Now, do you know if Americans can own or foreigners can own property in Brazil?
Yeah, I understand you can buy property there, but the problems with that is that you're never really sure about title issues, whether the person who's selling you the house actually owns the house. And based on my previous girlfriend, because was Brazilian, and she came from a pretty wealthy family, and she owned real estate there, and that's one of the main things that people in Brazil or foreigners have to deal with, is that they try to rip you off because there are people that don't even own the property that are trying to sell you the property, and you got to, you know, pay people, you know, who work in the government office to make sure that you're dealing with the right people. So, yeah, you can, you know, buy property there, but you have to have boots on the ground. You have to know someone who's connected, who knows what's really happening with the property, who has access to the real information to make sure that you're being treated fairly.
I definitely understand that. Because, out here, Americans can own property, or foreigners can own property as well. And the process is straightforward. I don't own any property out here. I rent an apartment or whatever, right? So, let me ask you that. So is that what you're looking to do, or are you going to – What is your long-term plan for Brazil?
My long-term plan is to just move around the world and live. So I'm not sold completely on Brazil. I've been there. I kind of like Sao Paulo. I was there because of the girl that I have a relationship with. But I'm more of a coastal type of guy. So I'm going to also go to Colombia this year. Because I have an interest in Colombia as well. Because if I could only stay in Brazil for 3 months at a time, and I want to be outside the United States, I said, okay, where else can I go in South America and kick it for, you know, a little while and then come back to Brazil and stay another 3 months? So I plan on long term is just traveling wherever I feel the dollar is strong or the euro is strong, and working and just getting a chance to see the world. So Colombia is on my list this year, as well as two more trips to Brazil.
Oh, okay, yeah, because Colombia is definitely on my list. It's definitely on my list. People don't know this, but Medellin, Colombia, is the most modern city in South America. So a lot of people have seen Narcos on TV. I mean, that was during the Pablo Escobar days. It is not like that now. I mean, I haven't been there. I've heard a lot of people. I know a couple of people that have been there, and I've heard that, you know, it is very modern, very clean. You know, it's not what you're gonna expect. You know, it's not. I mean, it's not really what they try to promote Colombia as. You know, it's gonna be one of those places that you definitely want to go to, and it's on my list. Medellin, Colombia. I actually during this trip had a ticket scheduled to go to Barranquilla, Colombia, and I end up just not going, but I was actually gonna head out there, and you know you can stay. I don't remember exactly what the limit was for you to stay out there, but there was one. It was kind of sort of like Brazil. So you're actually trying to do the digital nomad thing, because I used to listen to a lot of stuff on that thing. Have you ever heard that term, digital nomad?
Yeah. I listened to the podcast and also Nomad Capitalist as well.
Yes.
So, yeah,
yes.
I'm familiar with them.
Yes. Because I spoke to a guy that, I forget the name of the host on Nomad Capitalist, where he talks about go where you're treated best. You know, and that is one of my whole things, you know. So, Blake, we just spoke about the economics of Brazil, you know, or, you know, how much further your dollar will go in Brazil, Dominican Republic, and pretty much in other places besides the western part of Europe, it's going to go a lot further. So, like I
yeah,
said,
I'm also considering, you know, Portugal as well as a place to maybe settle down. It gets a little cold there. I'm more of a tropical guy. So if, you know, if I can stay in Brazil for a little while during the summer months and then head over to Portugal as well, because I'm teaching myself Portuguese, so I want to be able to use that language. So I'm thinking about going between Portugal and Brazil back and forth so I can keep not have to learn a different language. Because
okay,
Portuguese
yeah.
is hard enough.
Yeah, I definitely understand that. Portugal. Yeah, I mean, but they spend the euro there, so I mean, it's not going to be as cheap. Or you speak on that because I haven't really researched Portugal, the country to go to.
Yeah, the cost of living is much cheaper than the United States. If you want to compare different parts of the world, there's a website called Numbero. I believe Numbero, N-U-M.
Numbio, or it's like Numbio.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
yeah, it gives you a cost of living analysis. You just put in the city that you live and the city that you're considering moving to, and it'll calculate and it'll give you a breakdown of what it costs to live there, rent, buy property, food, milk, eggs, everything, what the cost of living is there.
Okay, I definitely understand. But have you checked for Portugal? Because you spoke about Portugal.
Yeah, I have. That's one of the reasons I decided that that's probably a place that I would like to go. And plus the girl that I'm, you know, involved with, she has a career that's mobile as well, mm-hmm. meaning she, you know, does hair styling and she's a massage therapist. So she can basically work anywhere also.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah,
if the
yeah,
relationship works out and, you know, we decide to leave the country, you know, I don't have to say, okay, I got to find a new girlfriend when I move.
All right, let me ask you this. I understand that, yeah, because all problems are health, wealth, and relationships. Let me ask you this. Was there something that drove you to try to choose a because you said that, you know, you've dated a lot of different type of women. Was there something that drove you towards Brazilian women? Because like you said, you've had two. So is there anything that drove you towards them or what?
No, my first Brazilian girlfriend I met random. She happened to be someone within my social circle that I met. And I was really introduced to the culture through her. She's from Salvador originally, but she spent most, you know, a good portion of her life in the United States. So she's Americanized, if you would say. But she still is very much connected to her country. And, you know, she speaks Portuguese on a regular basis to her family when she's on the phone with them. So she introduced me to the culture. And she was like my first Latino girlfriend. A Latina girlfriend, and so yeah, that's how I got introduced to the culture, to food and carnival and all of that stuff. And after that relationship ended, I still had an interest in Brazil, and thought based on the strength of the dollar that it would be a good place to live, because I've been thinking about living abroad anyway for quite some time.
It is a very unique experience. Going abroad, like you said about dealing with the women. If you say like Brazilian women are better, that's talking about somebody that, you know, that hasn't dated them. Like you said, there's going to be things that are the same about them, and there's things that I appreciate about them. But you'll never get to experience that if you don't try to do what you end up doing. And that's what I actually promote. I do promote traveling, and if you want to come back. But, you know, the United States is not it. You know, it's not just the United States. The world is bigger. You know, let's get out and, you know, see the world. I want to see more black people traveling. And that is one of the reasons for the show.
Yeah, and besides the women, if I could just interject, it's a really a great cultural experience to be able to get outside the United States. And some countries you visit, you actually come back to the United States appreciating it more than you did before you left.
Let me ask you, I think it should be
mandatory for, you know, teenage kids. If you have teenage kids and you can afford to send them outside of the country for maybe a couple of weeks, like if they're in high school or something, just for the cultural experience, give them like $5 and tell them, okay, you got to live in, you know, Mexico for a week. And they'll come back appreciating, you know, what they have here in the United States a lot more. So traveling, you know, you can learn to like other countries, but it also helps you appreciate what you have when you come back. I've been to some places and I come back and I kiss the American soil. What I think about the experiences there and being in another country. So it's just the cultural experience helps you as well.
And speak on that about there was something you said in there, like you said something about the dollar being, you know, strong, and damn, I like lost it for a minute. All right, anyway. So
that's just one of the main reasons I chose, you know, Brazil or South America or even, you know, Central America, is just like you said earlier, in Panama being a place to live, you know, for cheaper than what it would cost you to live in the United States. So with the dollar currently being strong, you know, it's a good, South America is a good place to be going right now.
Okay. Oh, that was what I was going to ask you. You said that you kissed the ground, you know, when you come back to the United States sometime. Where did you go that made you feel that way?
Well, it was like my first trip outside the United States, actually, back, you know, when I was 26 years old. I went to Mexico, and we're talking, you know, I'm not old, but this was quite a few years back, and it was back in the late 70s, early 80s, or actually the mid-80s is actually when I went, and I saw the abject poverty of the country, people living in garages, dirt roads, not very much, you know, lighting on the street. So when I came back to Los Angeles and we saw the heavy migration of, you know, Mexicans coming into the United States, I totally understood. Because if I lived there, I'd be trying to get the hell out of there too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
When you go to other
countries and you see how people live compared to how you may live, and even if you live in the worst ghetto in, you know, the United States, it's like Beverly Hills compared to other countries.
Yeah, that's what I try to say out here, that because of your dollar, you know, this is why you guys need to be taking advantage of your passport. Because of your dollar or euro, you already become part of the high, you know, the highest class out there. So as long as you don't say to you lose all your money, you know, you're good to go. You know, money goes a long, much longer way out when you're living in a different place. When you're living in a place like Mexico or something like that. Now, he spoke about, you know, seeing levels of poverty, and yes, I've seen levels of poverty out here that are, you know, pretty bad. You know, I mean, they didn't, it was regular life to them, but me knowing what it's like in the United States, you see it and you're like, wow, you know, like, okay, it makes you appreciate your upbringing or whatever, right? But being that you know, you have dollars and euros, you won't have to worry about that. You'll be able to, you'll stay where the richer people are, and you'll stay in a nicer place. What we're talking about is basically, like, go where you're treated best. And because you have the dollar, I mean, it is what it is. This is how life has turned out for you. Because you have a dollar and you have a euro, it can go a lot further. And you're going to definitely, definitely enjoy that a little bit more. I'm just going to talk a little bit about some of the stuff I had up here. We talked about the least expensive countries to go to. Well, we touched on it. But one of them was Panama, and that's one that I endorse because, I mean, I've heard people that go on there, and they love it. Now, number 8 was interesting, and that is Thailand, and I hear a lot. Yeah, I hear a lot about. I hear a whole lot about Thailand, a whole lot of good about Thailand. Like we were just talking about the digital nomad, stuff. If you're not into that, just check out some podcasts, and you'll find out exactly what we're talking about. But over there in Chiang Mai, Thailand, they're supposed to be doing the real. You know, they're. This is like that's like the place to be for this. A lot of people go over there from California. I'm from New Jersey. I'm from the East Coast, you know. But from what I understand, on this website, they're actually saying that you can get a one-bedroom or, you know, a pretty nice apartment, pretty much service apartment for, like, $300 a month. So this is something that, like, I'm not sure exactly. I'm trying to look where they're saying, what city they're saying in Thailand. But either way, like, you just save up some money, you get one, and we're going to talk about, like, internet jobs and, you know, doing other things to become an entrepreneur. I see a lot of people doing network marketing. I mean, that's cool. A lot of people make, a lot of people make a lot of money doing network marketing. But we'll just talk about a lot of options out there because that's what this is about. This is about, you know, empowerment and growth of the black men. Now, I haven't announced the number in a while, so let me just do that. We got it's 516-418-5541. Call in, guys. We want to talk to you. That's 516-418-5541. All right, I'm gonna take one of my callers. I got 910-229. 910-229. You're on Black Men Talk Radio. State your name and where you're calling from.
Yo, it's your big D. L. Vine. What's happening?
What's going on, D? So
man, nothing much, man.
So what do
you got a lot of static, man.
Well, I have a lot of static.
Yeah, you have a lot of static, bro.
All right, well, I might end up ending the show early because Marvin said that I have a lot of static too. So
yeah.
Thanks for definitely telling me that. I might have to start my computer or something like that. But in that case, I guess I'm gonna end the show a little bit early then. Rico, I thank you for definitely coming on the show. Hello, Rico? Can you hear me?
Yes,
now?
I'm here.
Rico, I definitely thank you for coming on the show. And I definitely want to have you as a guest in the future when we start talking about, you know, black entrepreneurship. Okay? And just plug it. Just tell everybody where they can find you on Facebook, what your group name is, so that they can connect with you.
Yeah, the group is called The Real Brazil, three separate words, The Real, R-E-A-L, Brazil. And if you'd like to join the group, just send me an invitation to join, and I'll add you, and we just keep you abreast of what's happening down there. So if you want to look for opportunities in Brazil, what's happening economically, you can find out through the daily post that I put on the group.
All right, well, we're going to close the show. This has been another episode of Black Men Talk Radio. You have a wonderful day, and thanks, family, for listening.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Yeah, bye-bye.